Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time to head inside Hong Kong with ST correspondent Claire Huang. Claire, how are you this Thursday?
Hi, Rachel. It's a very foggy day, but I think it's more like pollution over here these couple of days.
Oh, so it's hot, and there's
a lot of pollution, so it's a bit unclear in the sky.
Oh dear, but you're staying inside mostly, aren't you, Claire?
Yeah, mostly. Hoping to stay away from the sun.
Well, possibly. You know, you can head out and do some sports from tomorrow, can't you? Because let's start off with some good news in terms of what's been happening in Hong Kong this week, or what's going to happen. And good news for sports enthusiasts and gym goers, because Hong Kong said it will allow gyms and some sports venues to open from tomorrow.
Yes, that's right, Rachel. So from tomorrow, the anti-epidemic measures will be relaxed further for a second round. They did that. The first round was last week. So the government will now allow more scheduled premises that you mentioned, like fitness centres, some places of amusement, clubhouses and massage parlours, as well as some indoor and outdoor sports premises. But these sports premises that we're talking about are for activities involving little physical contact. So these businesses are, you know, allowed to reopen, and the government has said that this is to resume more social and economic activities, right? Because the economy has shrunk, you know, because of the pandemic. And this is also to give the public the opportunity to exercise, to maintain physical and mental health.
Well, I guess with that sports, you need something to balance it out. There's also going to be easing of restrictions on dining as well.
Yes, that's right. So last week, right, when they eased some of the rules, they extended dine-in services from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. So currently it's 9 p.m. until 9 p.m. This will be extended by another hour to 10 p.m. from Friday for a week. The reason being, the government was given feedback that people tend to work late in Hong Kong. So 10 p.m. would accommodate those who have late dinners. But seating capacity at any of the eateries is to remain capped at 50%. The maximum of two persons a table rule also stays. Public gatherings still at two max. So bars and pubs and nightclubs, though, are still closed.
I see. So just catering to those that are working late, that extra hour will make a big difference to them in terms of getting their late-night dinner.
Yes, that's right. Some of them got questioned, though. This government initiative got questioned, though, about why 10 p.m. Because people in Hong Kong typically take their dinners at about from like 8 p.m. So between 8 and 10, and they say that, you know, if 10 p.m., why not extend it all the way, you know, and things like that? Because 10 p.m. would, by then, most people would have had their dinners. So that was the criticism. I think what the government said was that, they need to monitor the situation, and the situation hasn't quite faded away, right? We are still in the third wave, although it's kind of come down, you know, the numbers have fallen.
Okay, and schools are also set to reopen later this month, aren't they, Claire? What can students expect?
In early August, the government extended school closures, and now face-to-face classes in schools will resume in two phases from September 23rd. The Secretary for Education, Kevin Yong, said that the senior students have better self-care capabilities and they have to prepare for public examinations. Now, they also included this time round in Primary 1 and Secondary 1 students to be in the first phase from September 23rd, right? So on September 23rd, Primary 1 and Secondary 1 students will be able to go back to their schools, and that's because they're newcomers, not familiar with the campus, they'll need time to settle in. As for international and special schools, they'll broadly follow the timetable of the public schools, and they'll also resume face-to-face classes in phases. Classes will be half-day. Mass activities in campuses will be avoided. Cross-border students is a bit more dicey, I would say, because the government is still discussing arrangements with the mainland authorities on this. So, Mr. Yong said that the announcement will be made in due course.
Claire, you know, as you mentioned, the number of daily COVID-19 cases has been lowering in Hong Kong. Do you have an update for us on the mass testing that's taking place over there?
So far, more than 800,000, or that's about 1 That's about 1 in 10 have registered for the mass testing. 278,000 have been tested after 2 days. The program started on September 1st. Yeah. So this is tentatively a 1 to 2 week program, depending on demand. Health Secretary Sophia Chan said this morning that the government will only confirm positive cases after the results are double-checked. Okay, so she said testing is complete so far on 49,000 samples.
We're speaking with Claire Huang, Straits Times, a Hong Kong correspondent. Claire, another story that just missed our catch-up last Thursday was that on Friday, China arrested at least 10 at sea, and they were suspected of fleeing to Taiwan. Do you have any updates on this?
So the Security Bureau confirmed last week that a dozen protesters were arrested by the Chinese Coast Guard when they tried to flee to Taiwan. Among the 12 is Andy Lee. Now, he's an activist who's investigated for charges under the national security law. He had traveled to Geneva in the United States to advocate for Hong Kong's democracy movement. And he was actually arrested in Hong Kong on August 10 as part of a mass arrest that included Apple Daily founder Jimmy Lai. And Lee was then later released on bail. Now, the reports have said that the group who tried to flee, right, basically tried to learn how to navigate and maneuver the speedboats in order to try to escape Hong Kong. So far, we know that more than 200 Hong Kong protesters and activists have been said to seek refuge in Taiwan over the past year.
So, Claire, since we're on the topic of the rule of law, it seems there's a new argument brewing in Hong Kong, and it started with Education Secretary Kevin Young.
Yeah, Rachel, he's been in the news quite a bit this week. It started because on Monday, he defended the removal of from textbook references about Hong Kong having a division of powers between the executive, legislature, and judiciary. Then on Tuesday, Chief Executive Carrie Lam backed him up, that Hong Kong had no separation of powers and there is no mention of such a thing in the basic law, which is the city's mini-constitution. She said it is about the division of labor in terms of their functions under the basic law. But then you see, Rachel, here's where it gets a bit, you know, the public dug out a speech made by Chief Justice Jeffrey Ma in which he said, basic law sets out clearly the principle of the separation of powers between the three bodies. Okay? And the Hong Kong Bar Association is the latest to weigh in. It noted that Mrs. Lam said that the Hong Kong government derives its authority from the Central People's Government, and it is the office of the chief executive that's directly accountable to Beijing. Now, Mrs. Lam made the point that the court deals with legal issues but not political issues, which are dealt with by the executive and legislative body. So the bar's position is that the doctrine of the separation of powers is designed to avoid excessive concentration of power. It guards against abuse and strengthens the rule of law.
So Education Secretary Young also came under the spotlight for changes made to liberal studies.
Well, just to give a bit of a background, right, Rachel, liberal studies was introduced in 2009. It's a compulsory subject for senior secondary students. It's meant to strengthen their critical thinking, but then it was accused by many pro-Beijing supporters as a key in radicalizing students, which they said resulted in the unrest last year. Most of the liberal studies textbooks come from six publishers, and all of them, decided to go through this the Education Bureau's voluntary consultancy service that was rolled out last year. Okay, so the phrase "separation of powers" was then deleted from the module. Okay, about contemporary Hong Kong by at least two publishers, and the definition of civil disobedience has an additional stress. That said, that participants should expect to face legal consequences if they participate in civil disobedience. Other changes also included the removal of, political cartoons, as well as descriptions of the June 4th Tiananmen crackdown.
Well, a busy week for you over there in Hong Kong, Claire, and that's unfortunately all we've got time for, but we look forward to catching up with you again next week for more updates.
Thank you, Rachel, for having me.
Thanks. We've been speaking with Claire Huang, Straits Times Hong Kong correspondent, here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.